All right. As we look in Ephesians chapter 2, we looked at we started on verse 4 on last week. And what we found out in verse 4 through verse 6, it starts out in verse 4, but. And that begins to disclose God's response to man's sin from verse 1 through verse number 3. And this divine response we talked about was expressed in three main verbs. And we're going to look at those tonight in verse 5 and verse number 6. And what those three main verbs that we're going to be looking at is, first of all, God has quickened us. And we said because they were morally dead in sin, the Lord gave them spiritual life. And then the second thing we'll look at is in verse 6, and has raised us up together. That is, God has not allowed these Christians to remain in the grave of their old life with his sinful ways and habits, but he brought them into a new life and in demonstration of it. And then the third thing we'll look at is also in verse 6. God made us sit together in heavenly places. That is, he has brought us into his presence and into an intimate relationship with him. So let's look at verse 5 tonight. He says, even when we were dead in sin, has he quickened us together with Christ? By grace are ye saved. Above all else, what we need to understand is that a dead person needs to be made alive. In other words, that is what salvation gives. It's spiritual to believers who doubt the power of Christ in their lives. Paul reminds them that if God was powerful and if God was loving enough to give them spiritual life together with Christ, then he is certainly able to sustain that life. And so the power that raised us out of sin and death and make us alive together with Christ. When you look at Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 7, it's the same power that continues to energize every part of our Christian living. So when you have time, read Romans chapter 6 and just read it from verse 1 through verse number 13. And so we see he says that even when we. Now let's look at the word we. The word we emphasizes the linking to the Jews with the Gentiles. Now you remember there in verse number 1, he said you. And now he says in verse number 5, we. In other words, what we find here is that both are in sin and may receive mercy to be made alive in Christ. And so we were dead in sin, made us alive. And that's what, when you look at the word quicken, when you look at the word quicken, it means to make alive, to make alive. And far more than anything else, a spiritual dead person needs to be made alive by God. Let me say that again. A spiritual dead person, spiritually dead. If you're spiritually dead, you need to be made alive by God. And so salvation, it brings spiritual life to the dead. Salvation brings spiritual life to the dead. In Adam, all die. But in Jesus Christ, all live. Jesus is the quickening spirit which brings life everlasting. He is the resurrection. He is the life. And because he lives, we live also. Because Jesus took our sins upon his body on the cross, our sin died on the cross. And so in the place of our sin, Jesus clothed us in his righteousness, washed in his precious blood. We are saved in Jesus, not because we deserve to be saved, but because he loved us. Grace is unmerited favor. And Jesus offers this to everyone. But here it is. He's not going to force us. He's not going to make us. But we need to understand, it's up to us to accept this free gift from Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 45, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45, he says, "And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." There it is. So when we became Christians, we were no longer alienated from the life of God. We became spiritually alive through union with the death and the resurrection of Christ, and thereby, for the first time, became sensitive to God. So Paul calls it walking in newness of life, according to Romans chapter 6. And verse number 8, Romans 6 and verse number 8. And so for the first time then, we could understand spiritual truth and desire spiritual things. Because we now have God's nature. We now can seek godly things, the things above, rather than the things on this earth. According to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Colossians 3 and verse number 2. And so that is what results from being alive together with Christ. We shall also live with him. Romans 6 and verse 8. Romans 6 verse 8 says the apostles, and our new life is in the disguisable from his life. And so we, our new life is indistinguishable from his life lived in us. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, you remember what he said? I'm crucified, Paul said, with Christ. It's not I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. So in Christ, we cannot help but be pleasing to God. Let me say it again. In Christ, we cannot help but be pleasing to God. So we should be pleasing to God because of all that God has done for you and I. But then in verse number 6, he says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now notice this. Raised us up. Seated us with him. Now when you look at the tense raised and seated, raised and seated, it indicates that these are immediate and direct results of salvation. These are immediate and direct results of salvation. Not only is the child of God dead to sin and alive to righteousness through Christ's resurrection, but notice this. He also enjoys his Lord's exaltation and shares in his preeminent glory. We share in his glory. And so salvation has a purpose. Salvation has a purpose in regard to us and in regard to God. The most immediate and direct result of salvation is this: to be raised up with him and to be seated with him in the heavenly places. But now we have another word we want to look at. When he talks about in heavenly places, what is he talking about? He's talking about the supernatural realm where God reigns. If you look in chapter 3 of Ephesians and verse 10, chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, to the intent, then now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And then go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual weakness in high places. So not only when you talk about in the heavenly places, the supernatural realm where God reigns, but also it refers to the supernatural spirit where Satan temporarily rules. We see that in then verse number 12 of Ephesians chapter 6. And so this spiritual realm is where Christians' blessings are. We talked about that in Ephesians chapter 1. And verse number 3, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. But not only where the blessings are, but it's also where their inheritance is. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Not only is where the blessings are, not only is where the inheritance is, but it's also where their affection should be. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. So not only is where the blessings are, not only is where their inheritance is, not only is where their affections should be, but it's where they enjoy fellowship with the Lord. It's the realm from which all divine revelation has come and where all praises and where all petitions go. So understand this. We are no longer of this present world or in a spirit of sinfulness and rebellion. Why? Because we have been rescued from spiritual death and given spiritual life in order to be in Christ Jesus and to be with him in heavenly places. So, let's go back to verse 6. He says, and has raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so we have to understand that that is where our blessings are and where we have fellowship with him. When you look at the word seated, sit together, it emphasizes the absoluteness of this promise by speaking of it as if it had already fully taken place. So he says, and has made us up together, raised us up together, watch this, and made us sit together in heavenly places. It just appears like it's already fully taken place. And even though we are not yet inheritors of all of that God has for us in Christ, to be in the heavenly places is to be in God's domain instead of Satan. To be in the spirit of spiritual life instead of the spirit of spiritual death. Because we have to understand, you want to be where God is. And to be in that spirit of spiritual life is where our are. Have fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And with all the saints who have gone before us and will go after us. It is finished. Jesus did it all for all who believe in him. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And if I am in him, I am seated there too. My spirit soars to heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because now I can easily relate to John when he said that he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. You remember that? John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. The door to heaven, Jesus, is open to all who will enter in. So let's go to Colossians again, chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Because he begins to, he summarizes this, and this is what he tells the church there at Colossians. He says, and verse number 1, now watch this. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things, here it is, which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. But then he says in verse 2, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. And look at verse 3. He says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So, what we have seen, when we go back to Ephesians, we've seen three things in these verses. We've seen verse number 5, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. Verse 6, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. But then look at verse 7. In verse 7, he says, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, watch this. It is not only for our benefit and glory, but God's greater purpose in salvation is for his own sake, in order that in the ages to come, what is he going to do? He might show the surpassing or exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ. So that too is obviously for our benefit. But it is first of all for God's, because it displays for all eternity the surpassing riches of his grace. Go to Ephesians again. When you look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God through his endless kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. The Father glorifies himself even as he blesses us from the moment of salvation throughout the ages to come. Listen, we never stop receiving the grace and the kindness of God. You ought to thank God for that. And so, he says, as you go back to Ephesians chapter 2, again in verse number 7, he talks about, again, that in the ages to come, watch this, he might show, in other words, demonstrate. And what this denotes is the ultimate purpose for all that God did for the Ephesians in verse 4 through verse 6, is that throughout eternity, he might make us understand more and more his goodness to us. Listen, God has truly been good to all of us. He has been good to us. And he is showing us each and every day about his goodness. And so we began to see that Jesus Christ, and we ought to thank God that Jesus Christ is our mediator. Because he said that in ages to come, he might demonstrate the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I'm glad that he is that mediator. When you look at verse 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, he said, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. And then when you look at in verse 8, he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now notice, that covenant he mediates is not of the law, but of grace. It is not of the law, but of grace. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6 and 7 and see what he has to say. Hebrews chapter 8. Beginning there, verse 6, he says, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." Our covenant with God as Christians is one that Jesus sealed with his own blood. But notice what it is. It is the free gift of grace. For verse 8 said, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Notice, "and that not of your own selves," but here it is, it is the gift of God. I want you to remember, it's the gift of God. Our response in salvation is faith. But even that is not of ourselves, but is the gift of God. Faith is nothing that we do in our power or by our own resources. Because in the first place, we do not have adequate power or resources. And more than that, God would not want us to rely on them even if we had them. Because God wants us to rely on him. Because otherwise, salvation would be in part by our own works. And we would have some ground to boast in ourselves. But he says, listen, he says, again, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself." Ain't nothing you can boast about. But it's the gift of God. So Paul intent to emphasize that even faith is not from us apart from God's giving it. Every person, we're going to close with this, every person lives by faith. Let me say that again. Every one of us lives by faith. Okay. When we open a can of food, or drink a glass of water, we trust that it's not contaminated. When we go across a bridge, we trust it to support us. Because life is a constant series of acts of faith. Life is a constant series of acts of faith. No human being, no matter how skeptical, how self-reliant you are, could live a day without exercising faith. And so we're going to pick up next week with verse 8. With verse 8. Again, to understand that for by grace are you saved. And we're going to look at that a little more through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. In verse 9, we'll look at not of works. We just talked about that. Ain't nothing that you can boast on because you haven't done nothing. God done it all. through Jesus Christ when Jesus died on the cross. So at this time, we'll just again thank you for just listening in on tonight.